Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
In the spirit of turning the calendar, as we're now into the new year, let's turn it back to be the beginning of the Blackhawks NHL season, when they started the year with two losses against the reigning Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche, a very good Vegas Golden Knights team, and then they went on a four-game winning streak. Well, it's almost a little eerie, because as soon as 2023 happened, the Blackhawks lost a couple of games, and now we're on a three-game winning streak with an opportunity to make it four against a streaking Seattle Kraken team who the Blackhawks did beat the last time they were at the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight as we recap the Blackhawks' third straight win. But this time they take down the reigning Stanley Cup champs. They take down a couple of teams in back-to-back fashion who are both fighting for playoff spots. Both teams haven't gotten off to the start they would have liked to, but both teams came into the game against the Hawks looking for 2 points and in almost desperate need of 2 points. And the Blackhawks not only denied them of that, but made it very difficult along the way. Troy Murray's been breaking down this game with us and John Weideman all night long. And Troy, you mentioned a full-on 60 minutes for this team, but I don't know, I'm kind of being reminded of what this team did well at the beginning of the year, where they're weathering the storm, taking advantage of their opportunities, doing a lot of the little things right, but also it's just everybody pitching in, too.
Yeah, I just, the overall effort from the opening faceoff to the last buzzer was really good. Just the focus was there. They did spend some time in their own end of the ice, and you're going to expect that against good teams that have good players. Certainly have that, but I just love the way that they handled it. There was no intimidation in their game. I thought their the back end, which when you look at it, it does have some size. It's, you know, Seth Jones, I thought that was maybe Seth Jones' best defensive game of the season. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, he was minus two, but the way that he played was excellent. And his partner was Jake McCabe, who was a minus two. And those guys were a plus three and plus two the last game, so sometimes they works against you. But I thought that the way that pairing played, I thought Murphy was really good. Jack Johnson against his former team, I thought really stepped up and played a solid game. And the third pairing of Isaac Phillips, I thought, him coming back into the lineup, missed the last couple games, an opportunity for him to reset. It seemed like he was really engaged in this game with an assist, plus two and five hits, and then everybody up front. I mean, just the little plays. And even you look at the little play by Blackwell on the first goal by Lafferty, just a smart little chip in behind the defenseman and let Lafferty use his speed down the left wing side. So just so many good things happened in this game. Just impressive. And I think for everybody, a lot of times, you walk out there and whether you win or lose, you kind of assess your individual play in your mind. Did I play good? Did I play bad? I think everybody leaves this game. Obviously, they're excited as a team that they beat the Avs in an important game for the Avalanche. But also, I think that individually, everybody can kind of go, man, I did my job. Maybe I didn't score. Maybe I didn't do this. Maybe whatever. But I thought individually, everybody played the way that they needed to play to get this win.
And how important is that just for this team to allow themselves to reset themselves? With all the struggles and all the tough times that this team has gone through, it's always like, why can't we put this together? Why can't we put that together? And these last three games especially are just a prime example of how that can happen. It all has to come together, but it can happen. How important is that to get that instilled in this locker room once again?
Yeah, and I think you have to go to Luke Richardson and the coaching staff to keep everything fun, to make it a mission for the players to come to the rink and enjoy coming to the rink, even though the record and the results on the ice were not what they were hoping for. And I really think that if you look at how Richardson has structured his practices, you know, giving it opportunities for Jonathan Toews and the leadership group to kind of decide what they wanted to do in certain practices, giving them time off. You just can't sit there and drill the players into the ice every single time. This is what we need to do. So you reinforce the positives, you make it fun to come to the rink, and you find a way to get out of it. Now you look at the three-game winning streak against Arizona. You know, a team that has young, good players, but I thought that that was an opportunity for the Blackhawks to kind of reset the way that they needed to play and be successful. They were in that game. Calgary had better opportunities. You got great goaltending from Stalock. Mrazek comes in. He plays excellent in this game. And I just think the belief is kind of back where it was before, but you got to give a lot of credit to the coaching staff to make sure that, you know, that belief is still alive and burning inside these players by making it fun to come to the rink.
Troy, we've got Seth Jones here down in the booth with us as the Blackhawks take down the Colorado Avalanche. And Seth, this is just a full-on team effort, 60-minute, everybody pitching in. What's going so well for this team's depth right now?
I think we're all on the same page all over the ice. Defensively, we're all doing a job, and it starts with hard work. We're getting pucks in. We're not turning a lot of pucks over the neutral zone, which is helping the speed of our game. I think Reich's coming in on that line has been great for us because he plays super fast. And then offensively, we're getting pucks to the net. You know, we had 30 shots tonight, which we don't do often, so I think we're shooting a lot of pucks, which is good.
Seth, we're going to head up and bring in Troy Murray. Troy, go ahead.
Seth, I thought this was one of your better defensive performances of the season, and not an easy challenge going up against McKinnon and Rantanen, and they've got some big guys that can put the puck in the back of the net. What was working for you guys defensively? And there was pressure, and you knew that there was going to be pressure, but the way that you guys handled it, I thought was really good. And the physicality of the way that the defense played in their own end of the ice, I thought was exceptional tonight.
Yeah, well, I think defense is a five-man unit, and it's everyone taking pride in not letting the puck go in the net when they're out there and having their guy and covering up for guys when mistakes do happen. So I thought, you know, our forwards did a great job in the defensive zone, but our D were very physical tonight down low on them, making it difficult for their top players to make plays. And, you know, when we did get the puck, we transitioned pretty quick and got to offense.
Your guy Jake McKay being recognized once again, but I mean, he's had a great season as well. What's it like to play with him on a daily basis?
It's been great playing with Kaber. You know, he's a steady defenseman. You know, he's always making the right play, I think, and he's physical defensively. He can chip in offensively, so his communication has been great. I think both of our communications have been great together since we started playing, and he's definitely been a joy to play with. He's a leader in our locker room. He's someone and someone that we can count on every night.
If you look at, and you talked about the physicality, you had four hits. Connor had four hits. Jake had five hits. Isaac Phillips, who I thought stepped back in and had an excellent performance in this game, picking up an assist and doing what he needs to do best. Was the plan to be physical against this team?
Well, we know the offensive firepower they have, and you know, you can't just kind of mirror them and skate with them and you know, play tentative against them, even though they're exceptional offensive players. You have to really go at them and attack them. And, you know, we have a lot of big bodies on the back end. We can use our physicality well. And I thought we did that excellent tonight. So hopefully we take a page out of the book tonight and we can do that more consistently this year.
Troy mentioned Isaac Phillips. I know he looks up to you. He's another big guy. What do you like about him, and what kind of knowledge have you shed on him?
Well, I think he's just an outstanding athlete, and you can see the talent that he has with the puck, his skating ability. He's a fast player. He gets himself out of trouble a lot with his legs, and he snaps the puck. You know, he passes the puck like a man out there. He can really snap it around, and defensively, he's a big, strong kid. So, you know, I try to give him pointers here and there when I can, but, you know, there's nothing better than learning from experience and learning on the fly, and I think he's done a great job of, you know, stepping in, and I know he's kind of in and out of the lineup at times right now, but when he does come in and play, he's been nothing but a pro, and then when he's not in the lineup, you don't hear a peep from him. He just puts his head down and works, and he's someone that I think is going to be be a big piece of this organization going forward.
Seth, I don't know if you caught the tail end of what I was talking about before we started talking with you here about the coaching staff and the job that they've done, and reading when to have Isaac Phillips just take a break and reset for a couple of games, knowing that he's a young guy, and sometimes it helps to step back. And the way that they've handled making it fun for you guys to come through, come to the rink through some frustration that hasn't, you know, proven well on the ice as far as wins and losses. You know, just give us your thoughts on how the coaching staff has handled this and how it really has helped you guys put yourself in this position to have that confidence that you can turn it around and win these three in a row.
Yeah, the coaches, you know, we come to the rink every day, and obviously, like you said, it's been frustrating for the most part this year. But, you know, we're in this together, and they always reiterate that. They're always, you know, trying to make us better, whether it's through constructive criticism or anything like that on practice days. And, you know, they give us a good game plan every night. We do a lot of video and try to become better as a team. But, you know, the position we're in, we're going to have young guys playing for us, and you know, the way they handle that, you know, if they have, you know, three good games or then a bad game, they'll sit them and bring it back in. So I think they've done an excellent job. For the most part, all of our young guys have been excellent this year. And coaches are making it extremely, you know, as fun as it can be with the position we're in right now, whether it's practice days or game days.
Before we let you go, the Seattle Kraken come to town in a couple of days. You've already played them. You've already beaten them. They're a different team, you're a different team, but how nice would it be to get four straight wins at home with these crowds that have been coming out?
It would be amazing. The fans have been tremendous this year for us. They've been there every game supporting us through, you know, a lot of losses, but especially, you know, the wins. They were extremely loud tonight. It was fun here in that building rock, and it would be good to get four wins in a row and finish off this homestand. Or we have one more game on Tuesday, actually, but continue this homestand in the right direction.
They tried to get the wave going again. Are you a wave fan?
I was aware of the wave last game. That was pretty cool.
They started again tonight.
I didn't see it.
They tried to, Troy.
I was locked into the game tonight. It was intense there in the last few minutes.
Yeah, you guys, I will say this, Seth. I mean, this was, I think, one of your best 60-minute efforts as a group. Top to bottom, Everybody, all four lines, all six defensemen. Peter Mrazek comes in, and he does a fantastic job, you know, in his first start in four games. So you just look at everybody's performance in this game, I thought was just excellent.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take every guy stepping up. And if everyone's 5-10% better every night, then, you know, we have an exceptional team.
Seth, thanks a lot for stopping by. Best of luck, and go get him against Seattle.
Thanks a lot.
All right, that is Seth Jones as the Blackhawks take down the Colorado Avalanche, the defending Stanley champs, Stanley Cup champs here at the United Center in Troy. I mean, we could say it a lot, 60-minute effort, but that is what it takes for this team to pick up wins, and it's fun to see when they can all pitch in together, because it just shows that the team is capable. It shows that they're capable of being their best selves, but also capable of just beating whoever comes to the United Center. And at the beginning of the year, that's exactly what Luke Richardson said he wanted. He wanted a team that was going to make it difficult for any other team that was going to take on the Blackhawks, and lately that's the type of team that's been showing up in red and black.
Seth talked about it, and I'll ask you this. Do you remember any time in this game that there was a really bad giveaway by the Blackhawks?
Yeah, no, I really can't. I mean, maybe in the neutral zone in the second period where Colorado got a rush, but there was never those high danger chances, those high intense, high octane opportunities for the Colorado Avalanche that's typically so easy to give up to them.
Yeah, and to the point of this is Luke Richardson, how many times this season had talked about the major mistake that makes the difference in the game? We didn't see that tonight. We didn't see that from anybody. Smart plays, good chipping out, good chipping in, good line changes. I mean, Colorado got caught on a couple bad line changes. Those are the little things that you control. Do you have a natural goal scorer? Do you have a game breaker? Not like, you know, Rantanen, who's got 27 goals. McKinnon, you know, he's an all-star elite player. Cale Makar. But when you get the performance from everybody that commits themselves to the 60 minutes, this is what you know, you expect. And this is the kind of team that Kyle Davidson wanted to build, a team that was going to be very competitive. And I thought the competitiveness in this game was excellent. And I thought it was initiated on the Blackhawks side of it. Colorado was trying to respond. But, you know, you could see that the Avs were trying to force it, where the Blackhawks were just playing the game that was in front of them. Do you know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference, you know. And all of a sudden you see McKinnon going one-on-one. You see Rantanen going one-on-one. They're trying to do it all themselves. They're great players, and they want to do it. They want to take control. But then all of a sudden that just kind of plays into the hands of the Blackhawks. You looked at, you know, Nathan McKinnon trying to go right down the middle of the ice with about 4 minutes to go, and Seth Jones just flattened him. And, you know, okay, you know, you're coming at us. We're ready. We're engaged. And you know, great hit, good, clean play. And McKinnon hopped back up and got back into the play. But it was shut down the right way. And they just did all the little things right. No major mistakes. Didn't give Colorado that opportunity, as you mentioned, like in transition by turning something over or making a really bad play that could turn the momentum of this game around. And the, you know, Blackhawks never trailed in this game. They scored first. They scored, you know, 2-1. They scored 3-2. Just did an excellent job all around.
Troy, I want to ask you one last question, and feel free to call me out if this is a dumb question or a dumb point. Clearly, this team is better with Patrick Kane. Clearly, everyone wants Patrick Kane back. But is Lucas Reichel able to not so much accomplish more, but is it almost a better setting for Lucas Reichel right now, where he's on that line with Domi and Kurashev, where maybe he's more the focal point rather than how is he teaming up with Kane? Do you understand what I'm asking?
No, it's a great question, and we've talked about this the entire time that Patrick Kane has been there. There's that Kane factor.
Right.
That when players come up and they you know, if they're on the line with Patrick Kane, they tend to drift towards him, to give him the puck, to look at what plays in front of you and kind of ignore maybe the right play and see what you need to do to get the puck over to Patrick Kane. And I think for a young guy like Lucas Reichel, who idolizes Patrick Kane, you know, trying to play that game and get the puck to Patrick Kane, and maybe too much, to your point, maybe too much. And now he's just out there, and he's got a real good relationship with Kurashev, so I think they're having fun on the line. They both speak the German language, so, you know, they have an opportunity to talk in that way, so it makes them comfortable. So there is a Kane factor in there, and this team is better with Patrick Kane, but I think that it takes a little bit of pressure off Lucas Reichel to not be playing with Patrick Kane and just kind of, okay, I just kind of relax my mind and just go play my game. And they've been very effective as a line there. And I don't know what you're going to do with Lucas Reichel moving forward here. To me, the best thing is to probably put him back down into the minors and let him continue his progress there and really build a maturity level that we're seeing each and every time that he comes up here. And when the time is right, you know, make sure that he's a full-time NHL player with the consistency of a 200-foot game that you're looking for. But to your point, I think that there is a little bit of a different mindset when Patrick Kane is not on the ice with Lucas Reichel that just gives him a little bit more calmness in his game, that he doesn't have to force anything over to Patrick Kane.
And I kind of got to that point after our discussion in the pregame show about the difference between the AHL and the NHL, where in the NHL you just kind of trust everyone to do their jobs. And, you know, if Reichel is on the same line as Patrick Kane, he might think that his job is to best assist Kane as possible. But probably for right now, Lucas Reichel should worry about his own game and improve in that aspect.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, when you are missing a guy like Patrick Kane, it just kind of rallies everybody together and say,
yeah,
hey,
that's true. Know,
we have to play this kind of game. We don't have Patrick Kane in our lineup to make the difference, so this is what we got to do. And I thought tonight was maybe their best buy-in from everybody through 60 minutes all season long.
Well, hopefully another 60-minute effort on Saturday. We'll have Patrick Kane likely back on Saturday against the Seattle Kraken. And Troy, great stuff. Fun win. Good game overall. A member of the Chicago Six being recognized, as rightly so. Do you got the sunglasses on right now? Don't wear them on the way home, though, okay?
What is the... I wear my sunglasses at night. Brian,
that's another
Brian,
song.
What's it, Brian?
I'm drawing
a Canadian
blank.
Singer. Whatever.
I mean, I'm sure there's people screaming at their radios right now. Corey Hart. Corey Hart, sunglasses
could be,
at
it
night.
It could be.
Well, that's what Google's telling me. So
okay.
I'm assuming.
Well, there,
so.
There you go. You got faster hands than I do on that computer, googling stuff. But Corey Hart.
Well, don't but be Corey.
It won't be me tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, then, okay. Throw them on, then. Be the cool Troy Murray of the Chicago Six, then. And give directions the wrong way on the way home.
A lot of fun when you win, isn't it?
It is. Well, it's always fun having you back in the booth, pal. So great game, great night, and we'll see you in a couple of days.
Sounds good. Good job,
All right.
Joel.
All right, likewise. That is Troy Murray as the Blackhawks take down the reigning Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche. All right, we got a lot of breaks to get to, but we will take your calls and your texts, 312-981-7200. The Hawks have won three straight. What's impressed you? What have you liked? What do you like about Lucas Reichel? What do you like about anything? Plenty of positives to pull from tonight, so let's do it. 312-981-7200. Hawks beat the Stanley Cup champs. The Chicago Blackhawks have won three straight games. They just took down the reigning Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche, tonight here at home at the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. And we'll listen from you, too. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Give us a text. Mark is from Wilmington, and he's pleased with the defense and the goaltending. Why is that, Mark?
I just think that they are hitting the players and everything else, and they're playing a great, they're starting to save and everything else, and they're starting to play better against the teams that they have to win against. And I thought maybe at first they played some very tough teams and everything. That's why they were losing. But I'm Blackhawk boy again, and this team, I mean, I was turning down a lot of tickets at the beginning. I said, no, this team is really bad and everything. And now I think it's a turning point, and I'm going to start accepting the Blackhawk tickets. They're starting to play a little bit better, and let's hope they're starting to play very good hockey right now. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mark from Wilmington. Yes, the defense, the goaltending have been great. Let's face it, the Blackhawks have played a lot of very good teams. There's a lot of very talented teams and teams that might be a little bit overmatched than the Blackhawks this year. But the point is to play competitive games at the very least. And for the most part, that has been the case for this team. So whether you're Mark from Wilmington or anybody else thinking about coming to a game, just keep in mind that there are a lot of competitive games played by this Blackhawks team. Now, it takes a full 60-minute effort. It takes the entire roster buying in order for them to pull out the wins, but it is capable. John was at the game tonight. John, how'd you enjoy your experience at the game tonight?
Hey, it was great, Joe. I really really enjoyed it. Season ticket holder, been for a few years, and glad to see him do a few wins in a row.
Where are your seats?
Up in the 300 section, and I really enjoy watching the plays unfold and seeing everything happen. And, in terms of your question on what to do with Reichel, I would let that line stay together. When Kane comes back, I would throw him up with Toews and let him be on line one. But keep that line together on line two. Let it see what develops and see what happens for the rest of the season.
All right. I appreciate it. That's John. He's on his way home.
Hey, I do have one question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
What was it like hearing your voice on the replay when you were doing the play-by-play over the weekend? Did you feel good about it?
Of course I felt good about it. It was a very cool experience. Honored to fill in for John Weidemann. Dream come true. It was very cool. I don't know what else to say. Just, you work in this industry, you wait for an opportunity like that, and it finally comes, doesn't feel real. And I just lucked out with a couple of good games as the Blackhawks
sure
have been piecing them together.
Yeah, you sure did. And it was great hearing your voice and hearing you hesitate a little bit when you were doing the replay at the on the after game show. You're like, oh wait, that's my voice.
That's very true, John. Yes. Well, that's why you just kind of fake it till you make it. You just go along with it until
exactly.
John,
All good to you, man. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again, buddy.
Likewise. Thank you, John. That is John coming home from the game. Don't be a stranger on the post-game show. 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Really quick, this text from the 708. After a night like tonight, it's hard to believe that this team only has 11 wins. They played fast. They played aggressive. They played as a solid unit tonight. I hear you. I do. But again, it's just that's what it takes for this team to beat good teams. And let's face it, the Colorado Avalanche are missing a lot of heavy, important players. They're missing their captain and Gabriel Landeskog. They've been injured almost all year long. They've had a lot of speed bumps and a lot of hurdles to jump over. But that isn't an excuse for the Blackhawks' win. They took advantage of the opportunity and played the game that they needed to. Teams Blackhawks can't afford to lose to if they want to win the playoffs. Colorado, St. Louis, Nashville, Kings, and Detroit. Dexter and Bolingbrook. Dexter, thanks for chiming in once again. I think we got to pump the brakes a little bit on the playoffs as of right now. It's great to be fired up after a win. It's great to feel good about this team on a three-game winning streak and seeing what they're capable of. But the playoffs are a long ways away. The Blackhawks have made it very clear that this is year one of a rebuild. Still a ways to get to that, but again, another great night at the United Center. Great homestand that this has really become, and now the Hawks have a chance to add to it on Saturday against the Seattle Kraken. We've got more to get to. We want to get to the highlights, John Weideman's highlights, that is, and also sound from the locker room as Jack Heinrich is back, but we got to get to another break. You're listening to the Blackhawks post-game show, taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight on 720 WGN. Recapping a fun one here at the United Center. Blackhawks take down the reigning Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. The Hawks with the win improved to 11-25-4. Colorado moves to 20-17-3. The Avalanche are on the outside looking in of the playoffs. And it's a surprise to a lot of us, but again, they've had quite the year, missing a lot of big pieces, a whole lot of injuries. They've had 35 different skaters this year, and 25 of those 35 skaters have played 30 or less NHL games. This is not last year's Colorado Avalanche, but hats off to the game that the Blackhawks played tonight. A full-on 60-minute effort, everybody pitching in, hardly any mistakes, and that's what this Blackhawks team is capable of. Against any team on any given night, and we're seeing it in three straight nights here at the United Center. It's going to be a tough one on Saturday. The Seattle Kraken are really rolling right now. 7 wins to start the new year, and they're fighting for a playoff opportunity, just their second year in existence. Our three-star selection is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. All three Blackhawks tonight, the number three-star, Peter Mrazek, the number two-star, Sam Lafferty, and the number one star is Jake McCabe. It's also time to get to our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, that take on with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations, that is. I think Troy Murray gave the player of the game, or maybe just the overall win to the entire team. I kind of want to do that again for the player with the most heart. Let's give it to the entire team. There's no rules. I make up the rules here with these reads. Let's give it to the whole team. Full 60-minute effort. Fun night here at the United Center. I think that's another good point that Troy Murray brought up, too, that everyone has to pitch in when Patrick Kane is not here. And maybe that is a little bit of a rallying cry. Maybe that's what lights a little fire under this team as well. And it sure has proven that to be the case over the past three games. One more break to get to. When we come back, we'll hear from the head coach and the goaltender, Peter Mrazek. Hawks beat the Avs. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Hawks win their third straight game, taking down the reigning Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. 3-2 the winner here at the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. It's our last stop on the postgame show. Troy Murray was very complimentary of the Blackhawks coaching staff, and rightly so. Let's hear from the Blackhawks head coach, Luke Richardson.
How nice a third one in a row, and how complete do you feel that these games have been for you guys?
Yeah, like I think three complete games, and even the couple games before that, I think I mentioned before, I thought we were coming and we had like 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes where not ran out of gas, but maybe a team with a little more depth showed flex their muscles on us, and we were right there. And I think just to see some results for the guys And now that they see it, I think they're even pushing harder. And we're, you know, I've been talking about us being connected on the ice, but I think off the ice, you can just feel it. Walking into the video room the other day after a day off and two wins, and that rumble where they're all talking and they're all together. And I didn't really want to interrupt and start the meeting. I just wanted to listen to them enjoy it. And this time of the year is a hard time of the year when you're losing. But it's a great time of the year when you're winning, because it's the dog days. It's the middle of the season and it's the middle of winter, and there's a lot of games. And if you get on that cycle downward, it becomes like that, you know, like it's hard to get it going. But when you're winning, it feels effortless, and these guys just feel like coming to the rink and feel like working for each other, and it's fun to watch.
The penalty kill had struggled a lot recently, but tonight was incredible. What worked so well?
I think just working with them all year, and you know, I know Kevin Dean has been working with them all year, and really promoting up ice pressure, and you know, at times with different guys in the lineup, I don't think it was fully comforting to our guys. Weren't really comfortable with it, and I think it's been coming, just like everything else, and repetition. And I thought tonight it really showed, and whether even sometimes when you misread, which is easy to do with a McKinnon or McCarr coming up the ice at you, we still put pressure on them, and it puts them under the gun to make it a play at the blue line. I thought we turned over a lot of pucks there. And we did a great job in zone, and Kevin spent some more time on the video this morning and getting the guys prepared. We had a good plan, and I thought the guys really executed.
That's a really risk.
It was a bunch of the little things tonight. It really was. And Luke Richardson going into depth about the penalty kill tonight. Troy Murray mentioned the Hawks just having great coverage on the PK, just always anticipating where the puck was going to go. And if they weren't able to clear it as soon as they got to the puck, they were going to feed somebody that could clear it. And even the power play, even though the Blackhawks didn't have a power play goal tonight, looked really in system. Not the first one, but the next two, the middle power play especially. I think the entire 2 minutes they had it in the Avs zone. Okay, maybe not a surplus of high-quality chances, but there was crisp passing. There was a lot of good rhythm, a lot of good movement. Guys not overpassing, not trying to get too cute. Just everyone seeming to be in sync, and that really is the case. And you heard Luke Richardson use the word effortless when the team wins. That was an example of it tonight, I think. So the Blackhawks win their third straight. They host Seattle on Saturday, a 7 o'clock puck drop here at the United Center. We'll have the pregame show right here on 720 WGN at 6:30. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to everyone that helped out back at the WGN studios. Our producers of Ben Anderson and Brendan Rook, and our engineer of Brett Jackson. Here at the United Center, our reporter was Jack Heinrich. Our Hall of Fame engineer was Paul Zerang. John Weideman was back on the play-by-play. Great to hear him again. And Troy Murray back on the color. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand. Again, the Hawks beat the Avs 3-2 here tonight at the United Center. David Jennings has your news next. After that, it's Raleigh James. Thanks for listening. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.